Welcome, everybody. Tonight we're in Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. And this passage introduces a clarification of the name of God, revealing His nature and His character, as well as His call to Moses to go and to deliver the message to the Israelites that God has heard their call and that He's about to free them from the 400 years of captivity in Egypt. As we get started, Buddy, would you open with the Lord's Prayer?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power. Amen.
Amen. That model prayer asks that the Lord's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Moses was part of that divine plan to use Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt into the promised land. So we too need to be ready to heed the call to serve Him as we ought. Brother Tom, would you read Exodus 3, verses 10 to 15?
Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, I shall say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations.
Amen. Thank you. This event in the life of Moses occurred about 1446 B.C., and as we said before, it's about 400 years into that time period of captivity in Egypt, in which the Israelites were placed under increasing rigor and hard work and even the threat of death. But God heard their cry, and the time has now come for Him to deliver on that promise that He had made to Abraham, that one day the Israelites would be brought forth out of Egypt, and they would occupy that promised land of Canaan that had been given to them. And this was a time of waiting in the life of Moses. 40 years before, he had apparently been made aware of that promise, and apparently he believed himself to be the one who God would use to accomplish that. And you'll remember that he had taken matters into his own hands when he saw an Egyptian taskmaster treating unfairly a Israelite servant. He slew the Egyptian guard, and he had to run for his life. He ended up spending the next 40 years in the deserts of Midian, tending his father-in-law Jethro's sheep. And as he had married and had two children by that time, he was in a period of waiting upon the Lord, but this was apparently a time of refining, a time of refocusing on the call of God. And we see here that he now, after seeing the burning bush, that bush which, though consumed with fire, was not destroyed, he had moved closer to see what was truly happening. And the voice of God told him to take off his shoes because he was on holy ground. And as he witnessed that burning bush, the word of God came unto him. Perhaps even after 40 years of near silence, the word of God now comes to him and tells him to come now, to respond to God's instruction for his life. And to go back to Egypt, though he had no doubt had a price on his head for having slain the Egyptian guard, though there was question as to whether the Israelites would even follow him, for they had mocked him and questioned his right to leadership. And with all those doubts, yet now we have the voice of God calling to Moses and telling him to go back to Egypt and that he would deliver a message unto the children of Israel that the God of their fathers had sent him. And we see here Moses' response to the word of God. He says, "Who am I?" This is a very different attitude than he had exhibited 40 years before. He now has a newly found humility that he didn't have when he slew that Egyptian guard. At that point, he was eager to take the reins of leadership. He was eager to fulfill God's calling. However, he had not waited upon the Lord for the Lord's providence and the Lord's timing. We must also be quick to recognize the Lord's timetable in the events of our lives. We certainly should be faithful in responding to his call to service, but we must be very careful about taking matters into our own hands and proceeding without the enabling direction of the Holy Spirit of God. Because when we attempt to accomplish God's work merely in the flesh, it's doomed to failure and disappointment. But Moses has a proper question here at this point. He says, "Who am I?" And this is a question of humility. Some would view it as perhaps a question of doubt in light of the later conversation that he feels that his speech impediment, his inability to speak, might be a hindrance to his deliverance of this word from the Lord. And this humility that he shows here is a commitment on his part to do that which God has called him to do, but to truly question whether he is capable. But God answers that doubt, that hesitation, because he says, "Certainly, I will be with you." And the Lord has promised his people even today that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that he will be with us always, even to the end of the age. And that should encourage us, like Moses, to follow the Lord's instruction for our lives, to do his will in all things, to strive to be holy as he is holy, and to strive to be more like Christ in every thought, every word, and every deed. Paul would later remind the Romans that the Word of God says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" And this is a reminder of the sovereignty of God. Even Paul would later say, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me," as he told the Philippians. But in each situation, the key ingredient is not ourselves, not our own willpower, not our own commitment, not our own abilities. But it is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. It's Christ with us. Because if God be for us, who can be against us implies not that we are strong in our own might, but that we are strong because of our submission, our obedience, and our alliance with the Almighty, with God Himself. So Moses is reminded of this absolute assurance of success, of victory, of accomplishment when he submits to the will of God. Isaiah had responded to the call of God by saying, "Here am I, send me." And we too should be quick that, like Moses, like Isaiah, and like many others down through history, that when the Spirit of God moves us, when he presents the opportunity to be a testimony or a witness for the cause of Christ, that we should be quick to respond. And whether we merely think it or whether we put it into a verbal expression, "Here am I, send me." This call of God on the life of Moses now gave Moses the assurance that this was now God's timetable. He's now 80 years old, 40 years in the desert, and yet now the time has come, the window of opportunity for service. And Moses now responds in faith, and he is willing and ready and able to do the will of God. But again, he says to God that when I go back and tell the children of Israel that the God of their fathers has sent me, who shall I tell them his name? Note that he doesn't say, "If I go back." He's now resolved to do the will of the Lord. He's now willing to follow the command of God to do that which he's been called to do. But he still desires some information, some clarification and assurance. God says, "I'll give you a token. I'll give you a sign." Many times the signs that we get from God, a confirmation of his will, are something immediate, something in the here and now, which give us the green light, so to speak, the open door to proceeding. But this token that Moses is given is something which he is yet to anticipate, something which will confirm the will of God and the power of God in his life, but only after it has been accomplished. Because God says that the token that I give you is that you shall serve me on this mountain, on Mount Sinai. And as we noted this morning, this Mount Sinai, the real Mount Sinai, was probably a mountain in northwestern present-day Saudi Arabia. It was far from Egypt, and yet God's promise that after he returned to Egypt, he wouldn't have his life and his health threatened as perhaps he feared. He would return successfully. And the token that God was able and willing to do that which he had promised to do was that Moses would serve God with the people there at Mount Sinai. And that indeed did come to pass. As Moses returned, as he led the people out after those 10 plagues against Egypt and against the Pharaoh, the 2 million plus Israelites made that journey to Mount Sinai. And it was there that God revealed his 10 commandments, the moral law of God, unto the Israelites, that he pronounced the blessings if they obeyed, and the cursings if they disobeyed. And it was there then that he manifested his power and his presence through the thunderings and the lightnings from atop the heights of Mount Sinai. In that holy place where only Moses was permitted to ascend. And the animals and any humans who approached the mountain while Moses was up there in the presence of God, they would be stricken dead. So it was indeed a holy meeting. And it was a manifestation of God's fulfillment of that promise, that the token that he was given, the assurance that he was told, would be that Moses and the people would serve God at that mountain. And God brought it to pass. We read in Scripture in various points of the things that God has ordained, the things that the providence of God has assured will happen. They are things that must shortly come to pass. And this is said of the events in the book of Revelation, the outpouring of the gospel, the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit, the decline of humanity into increasing evil, as evil men wax worse and worse in preparation for the return of the Son of Man, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But all of these things are within God's timetable. They're according to His sovereign purpose and His plan. And He, despite all of the indications that He's not directly involved, despite the doubts and the scoffing of the doubters and the skeptics, Christ remains on His throne. And the Scripture tells us that when the last of His enemies have been made His footstool, then He will arise from that throne, and He will return in glory and in judgment. But Moses asks, what is the name that I shall tell them when I go? Not if I go, but when I go back to Egypt. And God says, tell them, I am hath sent you. He says, I am that I am. And this reference to Himself as I am is a description of His preexistence. It's a similar description that we read in Revelation 1 verse 4 and elsewhere in the book of Revelation, that He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. That He is the God who changes not. He's always the same. And this reference to I am is a self-sufficient and an all-sufficient summarization of His character. It's a reminder that He is the all in all, that He's sovereign, that He's absolute, that He is complete holiness and wisdom and power, that He transcends time. He revealed that in various ways throughout Isaiah, throughout the Psalms, throughout the other minor prophets, and then throughout the New Testament, that He is the unchanging God, that He is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is a sense of that, though, the verb, the Hebrew verb which is used here, I am, is a verb that almost also might be rendered in the future tense. For God says, I will be that which I will be. And again, that implies the unchanging nature of God. He's the same now as He was in the past, and He will be forever the same in the future. We change. We decline with age and time. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He will never lose His authority. He will never lose His attributes. He will never disappoint us. He will never decline in His holiness or in His power or in His wisdom. And thus, when He tells Moses to tell the children of Israel that I am and I will be, it's a reminder to them that He's able to bring to pass that which He has told Moses He will do, that they can be assured of the faithful promise to Abraham 430 years before, that He would bring them back up out of Egypt, that they would occupy that promised land of Canaan that had been pledged to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And therefore, this clarification of the name of God, a reaffirmation of the attributes of God, is a reminder that He's still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not only the God of the forefathers, but He's their God. And He will be the God, the one true God, of all who will trust in Him throughout the future for as long as the Lord shall tarry. So that should have built the confidence and the faith of the Israelites as they heard this message, as Moses delivers the word of God to them, and he reminds them that the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the I Am, the great I Am, had sent them, and that he was still capable of hearing their prayers, of delivering them out of captivity, of securing their safety in the unknown future. And yet, they still had some doubts. Moses still had some things to work on in his own life. And we must recognize that though we have been given the grace of the revelation of the Word of God, that we still also are a work in progress. We must be quick to turn back to the Lord in humility and repentance, to be quick to confess our sins, for he tells us that he's faithful and just to forgive us when we confess our sins, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this then places our salvation not in our own willpower, not in our own intellect, not in our own good works, but it's the certainty of the accomplishment of our salvation that has been bought and purchased by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that eternal life which he and he alone can give. And it is an eternal life, an eternal reward that cannot be taken. It cannot be forfeited. It cannot be lost. And thus, we have the promise, the faithful assurance of the Word of God, that he is that same God now, as he was then, and as he forever will be. Moses is told to tell the people that I am. And that is that reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, which raised the wrath of the Pharisees, where they ask him if he was the Messiah. He said, I am. He told his disciples, I am the vine. I am the door. I am eternal life. I am the resurrection and the life. And John the Baptist identified him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And thus Jesus Christ, the Messiah, fulfilled that promise of God that as throughout the Old Testament he was the great I Am, Jesus, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, was also that great I Am. And as he ascended to his throne at the right hand of God the Father, he is still the great I Am. He promises to be near unto us. He has sent his Holy Spirit to indwell us and to seal us, to teach us all things, to secure us against the temptations of the devil and the snares of the devil. And he promises to finish that work which he has begun in us. He reminds them again that he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that this name shall be his name forever. They had been told previously that the name of God was Yahweh or Jehovah or the various ways in which it is rendered throughout the Old Testament. They became so superstitious of that name that they would not even write it. And yet God's name remains the same forever. And he has revealed himself as the possessor of all of the divine attributes, that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit all have equal possession of all the attributes of God. And though they manifest themselves in different ways, we're told that the Trinity is one God, one true God. And thus, he remains the same. He says that he has established this name forever as a memorial unto all generations. This too implies that revelation of the nature of God and the name of God was not merely restricted to the Hebrews, not just to the Jews, but it is a memorial unto the faithful, those who will repent and believe from all generations, all of the subsequent humanity as those who looked forward in faith to the coming of Christ back in the Old Testament, all now, regardless of ethnic background, regardless of national origin, regardless of our status in life, regardless of whether we are male or female, Jew or Gentile, bond or free. All of those things don't matter. But a personal relationship, a personal faith, genuine repentance, and faith are required for salvation. And thus, God has manifested Himself as a memorial, as a testimony to every generation, that those who look back upon the accomplishment of the cross of Calvary and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He paid the penalty for all of the sins of those in the past, those in His day, and those of us ever since, for as long as He shall tarry. And that shedding of His blood was sufficient to pay the price of redemption for all who repent and believe. And thus, when Moses is told to tell the Israelites that I am hath sent me, this is a reminder to us of the divine calling that we have in our own lives. Even as the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 28, as He prepared to ascend to His Father's throne, He gave the disciples a great commission. And that calling, that commission, has been carried down to every subsequent generation of believers. We're to go forth and to preach and teach and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We're to make disciples of others and tell them what Christ has done in our own lives, what He's able to do for them, and what He will do until the end of the age. And we're assured in the Scripture that He will not return again until the last of His enemies have been made His footstool, until the last of the elect have been safely gathered in. And then He will rise with the shout of the archangel and the sound of the trumpet, and He will return to judge the quick and the dead. In the meantime, we have a calling upon our own lives. We are to be ambassadors for His kingdom. We're to be the salt and light of the earth. We're to do that which God has called us to do, that we might honor and glorify Him in all things, that we might praise His name, that we might not forsake the assembly together as the manner of some is, but that we might obey Him and serve Him even as Moses did, trusting that God is able to accomplish that which He has purposed to do in our lives as He did in the life of Moses and in the people of that generation. Moses still had his doubts about his own abilities to do that which God called him to do. But again, God proved Himself faithful. He sent His brother Aaron to be His spokesman, to deliver Moses' own faltering words unto the people. And thus He provided the strength and the encouragement. Aaron, at times, tended to be a problem as well. He made that golden calf when he shouldn't have, when he knew better. And we have friends, we have fellow believers who fail us at times. We fail them at times. But by the grace of God, He restores, He reconciles, He brings forgiveness and reconciliation to His people. And thus, we are to remember that the great I Am who sent Moses is the one who commissions us to be His servants, to be His friends, to be His joint heirs, that we might accomplish the purpose for which God has called us in our lives and in our generation, that His name might be glorified and that His kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven. May you and I recognize this great I Am and the indwelling power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God to faithfully do that which He has called us to do. Amen. Do we have any thoughts tonight regarding